Janet Erskine Stewart was born in 1857 at the Cottesmore Anglican Rectory in Rutland, England. Her father was an Anglican minister who was well respected in the area. Growing up, Janet enjoyed a country livelihood. She was very close to her father, whom she accompanied around the farm. She would be a farmer too, and lived as they did. One day, Janet was invited to stay for some time with a relative, whose family were Catholics. After diving a bit into the Catholic faith and Catholic books, Janet became curious to explore more about the teaching of Catholicism. Janet began to explore the Catholic faith. While in London, she met Father Peter Galway, who helped remove certain doubts and a troubled mind. Father Galway also became a spiritual director and helped guide her on a journey towards Catholicism. Janet's father, however, was against her decision on becoming Catholic, that he tried talking his daughter out of it, but Janet remained firm on her decision and her father finally let her have her way. Her decision was courageous at a time when Catholics were still viewed with suspicion in England. As a young girl, she moved away from the Church of England and by the age of 22, had become a Catholic. Janet was received into the Catholic Church on March 6, 1879, in front of the altar of the Sacred Heart at the Jesuit Church in Farm Street, London. She wrote,
"Every friendship with God and every love between God and a soul is the only one of its kind."
Since Janet had converted to Catholicism, that meant that she could no longer continue living with her parents. But Janet accepted this fate, focused more on what life had ahead for her. In the summer of 1880, she traveled abroad, visiting Paris and Munich, for it was the year of the Passion Play. A short stay was made in Berlin, and they then returned to England by Brussels. She spoke of visits to several convents, of her attraction to the Society of the Sacred Heart, because of its name, and of her fears that it did not do enough for the poor. As time went by, Janet began to feel in her heart the desire to join a religious order. She wasn't sure if this calling was from God. One day, while visiting a convent chapel, she found the Blessed Sacrament exposed. She prayed, asking the Lord that if it was His will that she should become a nun, He would give her a sign by putting her on the prie-dieu. Almost immediately, a nun that was on the prie-dieu approached Janet and begged her to take it, saying she felt too ill to stay. Janet had just received an answer from the Lord.
"God always goes beyond our expectations in helping us. When God takes away anything from us, He gives us more of Himself instead."
Before entering the novitiate, she and a friend went salmon fishing, traveled to Knock to visit the Shrine of Our Lady, and then returned to London, where Janet spent some time with the family before entering the convent. It was the second time she had visited home since her conversion. She wrote,
"You can never give too much to prayer. If you're faithful to prayer, your purgatory will turn into earthly paradise, and you will do more good in a peaceful day than in a month of trouble."
The big day arrived, and so Janet was taken to the chapel of the Sacred Heart, and kneeling before the altar, she made the offering of her life on the spot, where, 33 years later, she was to rest from her labors. Then rising, she went to begin her new life. On November the 13th, 1882, the feast of Saint Stanislaus Kostka, she took the habit, and it was Father Galway who performed the ceremony. With the Mother General, Mabel Digby, from 1888 to 1889, she traveled to Canada and the USA, and her talents were recognized all over the world. She was interested in technology, and she even installed electricity and a telephone at Roehampton. In the USA, Janet gave a series of conferences on education, influential within the society. As vicar, Janet focused mainly on administration of the vicariate, which included developing standards of teaching and learning in society schools and colleges, regularly visiting all the convents in England, Scotland, and Ireland, and founding new institutions. She wrote,
"Let God be your sun, penetrating you with His own life, while you do in His sight all the small duties that make up your life and are nothing in themselves but everything to Him.
The students she taught loved her and respected her. She was not just a teacher to them, but also a mother. She had very high standards, yet she patiently tried to raise her students up. No matter how busy she was, she would always make time for her students, visiting them, counseling them, teaching them how to read. She wanted to give personal worth to each child, worth of character, strength of principles, and anchorage in faith. She wrote,
"You must not take a failure so much to heart. You must cultivate hopeful courage in God's service. And remember, all our life, there must be fails and failures from time to time to keep us steeped in humility and contrition. So, off again, on again, away again."
Sister Janet was also closely involved in the beatification process for Madeleine Sophie Barat and Philippine Duchesne. She also wrote many plays and stories for the moral improvement and entertainment of the community and school. With the death of Mother Mabel Digby, Sister Janet became the new Superior General in the year 1911. During this time, she also played the role of a spiritual mentor, writing letters to her former students who needed help and direction in their vocation plans. On the day of Britain's declaration of war in 1914, around this time, Mother Janet was busy turning the Brussels convent into a first aid center and trying to find passports for any of the community who could be found refugees away from the front. Mother Janet escaped from occupied Belgium soon after the outbreak of the First World War. She was already unwell, and after an operation, became rapidly worse. She died at Roehampton on October the 21st, 1914. Mother Janet Erskine Stewart, pray for us.